This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for KingdomOfTheGiants.com. Today is Tuesday the 31st of March 2013 and my name is Davey McGimsey and have we got a show for you this week. We look back at the clinical demolition of the Cardiff Devils and we look forward to the playoff final the weekend in Nottingham. We chat with Blaze head coach Chuck Webber and we grab the quick word with our wookie goalie fans' favourite Carson Chewback. You can get us at all the usual places on Twitter at AVFTB. The interviews are on SoundCloud, kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast, or check out the forum there, Instagram, etc., etc., etc. Tell you what, it hasn't been easy at times to do this show this year, but, you know, this one was a treat. Bang that intro on, Paddy.
The Belfast Giants have reached the Final Four in Nottingham after two superb wins over the Cardiff Devils. There's no witty intro. There never is a witty intro, to be honest with you. But there's no witty intro this week. I'll start off by introducing two very happy men. First of all, he made it for the third period. It's Davey McGimsey.
Paddy, what about you, mate? I'm still literally buzzing from last night. You know, this is why we go to these games. Okay, we've had a hard time since Christmas and we haven't had too much cheer, but my goodness, what a weekend.
I got a phone call from you midway through the first period saying, I'm on my way.
Get my ticket sorted.
Well, a man who was there from early morning and kept his emotions well in check, professional to the last, it's Neil, the coach Russell. How are you, mate?
I'm doing very well, Patrick. I think I was caught out on Craig Peacock's power play goal with a bit of a fist pump given the poor camera angle. It was a fantastic weekend of hockey, mate. I thought we were absolutely brilliant.
Do you know, I'm going to give you a wee bit of kudos, our coach, on the first Peacock's opening strike on the power play. I had Premier Sports on in the car, just up my ear, listening to the audio. If there's any cops out there, I wasn't watching the pictures. I was just listening to the audio in my ear, and you were talking about the Giants power play, Craig Peacock not being selected for Team GB.
Yeah.
How he's so proficient on the power play, how, you know, that back door is his office there. Mm-hmm. And the stream went off, and bang, didn't know, came back 2 minutes later, Giants 1-0. Soon Peacock got it on the power play, so... Bravo.
He literally scored about 5 seconds after I said that, so I was quite smug with himself on that one.
Well,
smug never.
We'll get into that, lads. Let's get started in by... we brought back three-word weekends, much to the amusement of our good friend Mark Hitchcock. Cabarini said, absolutely fantastic. Nicky Newman said, effing awesome game. John Ewing said, never in doubt. Fair play to you, John. But the Belfast Giants, as I said, have progressed to the Final Four in Nottingham. We talk about the two games against the Cardiff Devils. First up, Friday night at the Odyssey Arena, the first leg of that playoff quarter final. The Belfast Giants took a 1-0 win over the Devils. The Giants, the only goal of the game coming from the Giants and Ray Sawada. Coach, it's the playoffs. You have to come out quick, and the Belfast Giants did just that.
They were absolutely brilliant in that opening first period. You could see it in the shot count as well from memory. It
was incredible.
14-1. Couldn't believe it. 14-1 in favour of the Giants. I mean, I thought we were defensively brilliant. We nullified anything that the Cardiff Devils brought forward. Chewback had literally one save to make. It was a very good save as well in that opening first period. But I thought we came out, we dominated the play, got shots in on bounce, put him under a lot of early pressure. I thought our lines were all of a sudden starting to click. We just, you know, how many times have I said it? We've all said it throughout the course of this season, you know, about that emotional engagement, that kind of the flick of the switch. You know, we saw it in that Sheffield Steelers doubleheader. We saw it the night, I think it was against the Cardiff Devils, a Tom Simpson night as well. The guys, you could just see the look in the eye. It was an intensity that whenever this Giants team bring that, I honestly don't think anyone can touch us. I've said it all season. I think we are all in agreement. Look at our team, how well we did last year. And look at the strength of our team. We've strengthened that team from last year, in my opinion. You know, whenever we flick that switch, my goodness, we are tough to beat. And we saw that throughout the course of this weekend just passed. But yeah, I thought we came out of the traps brilliantly well.
Davy, those shot statistics are absolutely stunning. As the coach brought up there, 14, the Cardiff Devils only got one shot in the first 20 minutes of that game. And I can't actually remember another game where I've seen that happen.
We talked about it over numerous weeks. Giants hockey brand, you know, this is what we're about. That is our brand of hockey. And for me, as a bit of a hockey nerd, almost the two better statistics on that are that in the next two periods, we shut it down completely. Mm-hmm. We played that 4-1 trap, we're goal ahead, come and break us down and we'll hit you in the counter. And we played that on Sunday night as well. And, you know, I love looking up with us with a lead. I love looking up and just seeing us trapping along the blue lines going, come and beat us. And we kept the shots to the outside. We protected Chewback, defended well. We run the three lines. And, you know, okay, I'm going to sound a wee bit chipper and a wee bit smug, but I've said it for a few weeks. This team seems, I've been looking at them for a while, and the likes of Wes Garth, Compon, these are guys that come in with playoff experience, and okay, we tanked in the league for a few weeks. We've turned a big, big corner here, and I am excited and anticipating the weekend big time here.
Coach, as Davey brought up there, we've started to get our three lines, and we've got another goal involving Suwada and Chevry. We had another goal the next night involving Suwada and Chevry. Ray Suwada and Evan Chevry in particular up front have been fantastic.
Oh, big time. You know, again, to coin Davey's phrase, I don't want to sound smug, but I will. I've said it about Suwada from December. He has been simply superb. I know we'll go on to talk about that, but last night he was brilliant as well. Last night he chases down every single puck. He's now crashing the net. My one criticism of Big Suwada in the early part of the season was, you're not taking the body enough. You don't look that emotionally engaged. Okay, you're coming up with power play goals, which is great, of course, but I don't see you flicking that switch for us. He has been different gravy. And Chev, of course, we've talked about him, how, you know, Thorpe's moved him back on D, how versatile a player he is. And that's so important to have those types of guys. And really, since Thorpe has decided to put Chevy back on the forward lines, I mean, it's all just started to click over the last couple of weeks. And yeah, more power to those boys. You know, it's about time, I suppose, if you want to be slightly critical on it, but you know, listen, it's been great to watch, and I've said it already, the emotional engagement that we've seen from these guys has been different class the last couple of weeks.
Davey, Kevin Westgarth, 10th forward and man of the match.
Yeah, he came out, was it about the third period, late second period, certainly in the third period, and decided to be a wrecking ball. And for a game that, I know we were 1-0 up, but everybody's tense still. The crowd was, Boomerang Corner was going well, but the crowd, you know, you could feel there's palpable tension in the arena. And Wes Garth nearly lifted the roof off the arena for 5 or 10 minutes there. You know, he hit everything that moved. He had Cardiff Devils players looking over their shoulder before the puck came to them. Incredible. And so frustrating that guy has that in the locker. So frustrating. We talked about it on last week's show that we wanted to see that Kevin Wes Garth. And I've said it for weeks and weeks. That Kevin Westgarth, I would have back in a heartbeat. I would have him in a Belfast Giants uniform any day of the week, but he needs to produce that on a nightly basis. Maybe it's a playoffs thing and he realised now's the time to do it. My goodness, he was something else in that period.
Yeah, listen, Simon and I both noticed this in the first period. Westgarth was literally stood up on our bench. He hadn't had a shift around, but he stood up on our bench nearly the entire first period, right in front of Thorpe's. And, you know, it was actually Sizz that said that he sent a message to Steve Thornton here. He's shown the coach that I'm ready to go here. Tap me on the shoulder and get me out on that ice. And sure enough, whenever Thorpe's gave him that tap on the shoulder, he went out and he was a wrecking ball. He put in, how many times again have we said it? Trevor Hendricks led out Westgarth with a brilliant hip check in Belfast and another awesome hip check over in the big blue tent with nothing coming back from Big Westgarth at all. I remember the three of us said, you've got to go back and look at that. You can't, it's a perfectly good hit, and Westgarth coming from the NHL is going to be used to taking those types of big hits. Of course he is. There's nothing illegal in it. It's a perfectly good, but a very strong, as in Hendricks was showing no fear. Well, Westgarth, you are the toughest guy in this league. You got to put fear in some of these guys, and that's exactly what he did whenever he came out. He absolutely leveled Trevor Hendricks. And again, Sizz and I were saying, the glass behind the net after the hit was still reverberating for about 3 or 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. He absolutely clocked him. And the literally the momentum changed there, because that first period we were so dominant, Paddy. The second period, Cardiff got a couple of power plays, and all of a sudden they had a lot more possession. They're putting a lot more rubber on the Carson Trubak. They were stretching us a wee bit defensively. Westgarth comes out, lays the body on a few occasions, and all of a sudden the crowd are engaged. The team are engaged because they see their number one big, big physical guy coming out and taking that body. And the whole energy in the building completely changed from that moment. And, you know, as Davey quite rightly says, Kevin Westgarth does that night in, night out for our club. You have a contract down in front of him. It's as simple as that. But we just ain't seen enough of it, Paddy. Ain't seen anywhere near enough of it this season.
Davey, we want to see playoff-style hockey. We saw playoff-style hockey, and we've run them into the ground week on week. But we have to give a bit of kudos to the referee in that game, because it didn't really have any sort of input.
Always itsy bitsy. You can be critical. You know, there's stuff that could have called that they didn't, but seemed to put their whistles away a bit more in the playoffs for whatever reason. The rules don't change, but the refereeing does, which makes me wonder why the referee like got the rest of the year around. But you know, you've arguably sorry for boring you there, Coach.
They've obviously been a long 24 hours.
Mate, I haven't been to bed since Wednesday, hardly. In Hicks and Darnell, you've arguably, well, you've certainly the best referee in Tom Hicks or Tom
Darnell. Wow.
Sorry. See, you can edit that. You can do whatever you want with it, Paddy.
That's not being edited out, mate. You go for it.
is that like Darnell. Phil Baum in Nottingham?
Tom Darnell, you know, arguably the best referee in Mike Hicks. They both had good games on Friday night, you know, let the game flow. It was a good game of hockey, tight, you know, and we came out of there with a 1-0 lead, and we're looking, you know, is it going to be enough? The Big Blue Tent's been a hard place to go this season. We got our answer 48 hours later.
Well, then, I had a good chat with Mike Darnell last night.
very droll.
I had a good chat with
great beard, by the way.
With Mr. Darnell last night in the BBT, and I asked him exactly that question about, you know, why does it appear to change every year whenever it comes to the playoffs? Why do you guys put the whistles away? And he just said, yeah, the basic answer was playoff hockey, just kind of let things go that wee bit more. And didn't really extrapolate the conversation out anymore in that regard. You never like to put these people under a lot of pressure and bars after games, you know, talking about their job and all that type of stuff. But, you know, I just said I thought the game on Friday evening was ref really well. There was hacks and whacks off the puck and what have you, but there was nothing too bad. Bar Matthew Myers, and I had a good chat with Mr. Darnell about that, as Davey joined us for that conversation as well. I thought that was a wee bit. Nasty on Matthew Myers. But listen, I when it comes to refereeing in the playoffs, I personally prefer to just let the game flow that wee bit more and let the game have a bit of an edge. Of course, if it oversteps the mark, then by all means, do what you have to do. But I thought the referees over the course of the two games that I've seen this weekend, I thought it was very good.
Let's quickly touch on that before we move on. Davey, Matthew Myers with what appeared to be a cross check high towards the face. Was it Davey Phillips?
Kevin
Phillips, sorry. And got away with it.
I'm going to, on the back of the conversation with Tom Darnell last night, I'm going to have another look at it. Okay? Because he said he's looked at it and he explained to me what he felt. I'm going to look at it again because I thought it was a straightforward cross-check that week. Matthew Myers, obviously a bit of history in Belfast, carries his stick very high. He's more than two occasions in his career he's come up foul with, you know, hitting people high. But for the argument on this podcast, I thought it was a bad hit, but I will look at it again. I will give him the benefit of the doubt until I see it again, because the referee has said he reviewed the video and he believed it was a follow through from attempt to play the puck. So we'll see what I'm going to look at it again later on. I thought it was bad, however.
Coach?
Yeah, listen, I would be the same as David. I'm going to have to look at that again. I mean, I'd looked at it a few times before chatting to Tom last night, but he seemed to intimate that he felt that the puck came in between Kevy and Matthew Myers. Myers goes down to play the puck, and as Davey said, you know, the stick goes down to play the puck, but it comes up and through. But as Davey quite rightly says as well, it looked from the still photographs and the way we kind of broke it down ourselves between the three of us, as we tend to do, it looked more of a actual cross check as opposed to a stick coming up But of course, photos can maybe sometimes be a wee bit deceptive in that regard. But yeah, I'm going to have to look at that one again myself.
And you know what? Credit to Tom for even chatting to us about it. Mm-hmm. Because, well, informal situation and all, and, you know. But as coaches said there, I felt looking at the picture that I'm nearly certain I will have to see it again, but I'm looking at this still now. You know when you're, the shape your hands should be, if you're lifting your stick, you know the shape your hands could be, if you're cross-checking, you know, it's...
Are you sitting doing the actions now in your room like I was doing about a minute ago?
I am, yes, I am. I've got my hand above my stick, so my knuckles are my knuckles are facing down, so if I'm lifting my stick, you know, my knuckles are going to be facing the ice. His knuckles are facing the roof. So, you know, that get that into your head, people, because you're all going to be doing it in your car tomorrow. Do the Matthew Myers. No, 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 no. Yeah, we'll look at it again. I'm not giving him the benefit of any doubt, but I'll give Tom Darnell the benefit of the doubt, not Matthew Myers. You know, but, you know, glad there's no major injury. The Kevin Phillips doesn't appear to be, so there you are.
Well, the Belfast Giants took that 1-0 victory. You want to see highlights of that game? Giants Live TV. 1-0 victory going into the Big Blue Tent. Nothing was absolutely certain. We know that we've been swept in the Big Blue Tent in league competition, and we were beat there in the Challenge Cup semi-final. So with that 1-0 lead, maybe the Giants went in there and the fans went in there with a bit of trepidation, knowing how good this Devils team are at the Big Blue Tent. On Sunday, the Belfast Giants took a 7-3 victory over the Cardiff Devils. Giants goals coming from Peacock, Brookwell, Keefe, Robinson, two from Garside, including an empty netter, and Mike Compan, an empty net goal at the end. And the Devils goals came from Martin, Walton, and Hotham. On the agenda here, I'm not going to say the word I wrote, Davey, but that was, how good was that?
Do you know, it was coming in the Big Blue Tent, because the Challenge Cup quarterfinal in the first period was as good as I seen us play in the Big Blue Tent all season. We absolutely hammered the life out of them. And we spoke to Todd Kelman at the first end of the first period, and he went, if you play like that for 60 minutes, we are going to get destroyed. We played like that for 60 minutes last night. We hit everything that moved. We trapped it up in the second and third period fantastically well. But, you know, we came out and we took the game to them. He said, we've got a lead. You've got to beat us. But you know what? We're going to beat you. And it was... I have to see a game tape back, because I was driving for the first two periods to that arena. You know, it was just too much of a cherry to be. Could be the last time you see Robbie Sandrock in a Belfast Giants uniform. There's going to, Steve Thornton's already said there'll be other players retiring. There's usually players that move on. I wanted to see this team one more time. I knew they could do it. The last game in the league in the Big Blue Tent, we played very, very, very well and didn't get the rub of the green that night. And my goodness, that team of Cardiff has it in them to tank it as well. When they get a few goals behind, when you get a couple of pucks behind bounds, he's not the same goalie as when he's seen it like a beach ball when you've given 20 shots into his chest. We were good. I see what you've wrote on the agenda there, Paddy. Perfect.
Coach, listen, let's not get ahead of ourselves too much to begin with, because within a minute of that game, the puck was behind Carson Chewback, and maybe if that had stuck, it would have been a whole lot different.
Yeah, but a really good call by Tom Darnell. No question about it, but Dougie Clarkson's stick was high. It was above the crossbar and the perfect call. But I mean, that was a pivotal moment in that game last night, because you know yourself, lads. I mean, that place was rocking, but pre-game and during that first period, it was bouncing. The Devils fans, like, they create such an atmosphere inside that tent. And if that had been the go-ahead goal, the roof could have been lifted off and the momentum swing could have all of a sudden gone into the way of the Cardiff Devils. But listen, Paddy, honestly, I've seen us, that Friday night game against the Sheffield Steelers in January, I thought we were brilliant. I thought we played a really good 60-minute game of hockey, which Steve has been crying out for all season, a consistency there, and we just haven't had it. But my goodness, Paddy, I thought last night, we played an unbelievable 60 minutes. And you know how, and I'm going to use it, if it's going to become a ding word, emotionally engaged war. Ding. People like Colin Shields, Mike Compan, Nathan Robinson were all taking the body. These guys aren't necessarily expected to be, they're not that type of player, you know, that finish big hits or anything like that. Shields, he put in a couple of brilliant hits last night. Robinson was finishing his second. Mike Compan
Put Lord on his backside.
Put Lord, Andrew Lord on his backside. Mm. I freaking love that because that's not what we necessarily need out of comps. We're looking the inventiveness, the nippiness, and the same from Robinson, etc. Leave the kind of the big physical forechecking and big hits to Sawada, Lloyd, Keith, Westgarth, etc. But whenever you see that collective buy-in from your team, I mean, I just see if we'd lost last night, I would have had no complaints whatsoever because our team worked their tails off. And that's all as Belfast Giants fans, that's all fans ever want. That's all they ever want. A collective buy-in and work for 60 minutes. And that's what we got from our team last night. And we got our just rewards for that.
Davey, coach has iterated perfectly out of regards to the atmosphere in the big blue tent. You and I both know, Husband, we've been there many times. And the fact that that power play goal from Craig Peacock just killed the atmosphere, and then as the Giants started to come away, despite the fact the Devils, through Martin, through Walton, through Hotham, were able to try to drag themselves back into the game, but the Giants just kept going and going and going.
You've got to take the crowd out of it in Cardiff, because when they get on top of you, it's a tight wee rink, and all of a sudden, you know, it must be hard, you must feel up against it, you know. But listen to Thorch's interview after the game, and we've talked about it previous weeks about trying to pick a man of the match. And he went through nearly, if he didn't go through every, he went through very nearly every forward in the team and saying something positive about him. And, you know, that's Nathan Robinson in the third period dangled for what seemed like 20 seconds. They couldn't get the puck off him last night. You've Garside going in, you know, see the two empty net goals. Talking to Kiefer after the game, and Compo on a shot it from, you know, the sort of the circles in his own end. And Kiefer's standing open on the wing, and he's like, "What are you doing? Why are you icing the puck?" And then he looked round and Bounds is gone. He goes, "That's funny."
Fair enough.
Nice one, Comps. You know, and the calmness of Mark Garside to get the puck on a great outlet pass and just skate it in and tap it in the net. No panic. We were at that stage, we had the game sealed up, but Cardiff were throwing everything at us. You know, we were positive all over the ice. The D played tight, played well once again, kept the shots to the outside like Friday night. Chewback, I would say, would probably want the third one back, but he was very well. There's a lot of bodies in front, and that is a small little zone there when you've got easy four or five bodies, and he was searching for the puck. And just when he went down looking for it, and it's got ripped in over his shoulder, you know. But Carson Chewback has had two great weekends here. Let's talk about, you know, we've been quick enough to say, you know, he's no Stephen Murphy, but then you're coming in and you're trying to fill very big shoes. And, you know, he's been exceptional the last 2 weeks. There was a period in the third period last night where Cardiff were throwing everything at us, and he was diving all over the place, and he got a couple of delay of game calls for kicking. Like, let's be honest, you fart in Cardiff, those nets come off.
Yeah.
You know, so, but at the same time, we're completely opposite end of the ice. Tom Darnell's 6 feet away, and he's called them both. But look, Chewback looked like he took a naughty hit at one of them, and he's knocked the net off. So much happens around the net, but he had a very, very good weekend for us, and we are going to need to ride that form of his next weekend, because to do damage in the playoffs, you need your goalie to be your best player.
Well, that's
and
it.
It has been over the last two nights.
Well, that's it. Coach, you know, I'll hold my hands up. Over the last number of weeks, I haven't been the biggest fan of Carson Chewback, but with back-to-back shutouts at the Odyssey Arena and a great performance both in Fife and last night against the Cardiff Devils, we've got a goalie who's coming hot just right at the right moment.
Yeah, and leading down the stretch, that's what we always need. You know, we saw last year Frank Doyle for the Sheffield Steelers. He turned hot all of a sudden, and you know, leading into the playoffs, like look at again at last year, Frank Doyle was a nightmare. Just, you know, in that playoff final against us last year, he was just superb. Some of the saves that he pulled, I think he pulled off a couple from Surrett and Chevy last year in those playoffs, and that's what we're going to be looking from Chewback as well, leading into this Saturday and Sunday coming up. And you can bet your bottom dollar over the last couple of weeks, those performances that he's put in, he's going to be going into Saturday with a fair amount of confidence. Unless, you know, Stephen Murphy's been backing up, and he backed up this weekend, and it'd be interesting to see what way that swings out with another week of practice leading into Nottingham, whether Thornton decides to go with Murphy or stick with Chewback. But, you know, if Chewback gets a nod, he'll definitely go in with a good amount of confidence, certainly compared to what he would have had, say, a month ago.
I can only imagine the only way that Chewback doesn't play is if Kevin Surrett makes it as fit, you know, because they then would need to drop an import to bring him in. I can only imagine that can be the only way at the minute. You know, Chewback's hot, you play the hot hand, and Murph would be coming low. You know, what I think of Stephen Murphy, he'd be coming in after playing one game in 4 months. You know, it's
you've marked McCutcheon there as well that you could utilize.
I just think that McCutcheon's the sort of 12th, 13th guy at the minute. Unfortunately, he's just on the outside looking in at the minute. I don't see Carson Chewback being dropped to bring Mark McCutcheon in as, because we don't have enough to make that fourth line. If we had another star British player where we could make that fourth line up, and I think, you know, that's something going forward that the club will look at, because, you know, if you can carry the amount, you know, we're sitting an import at the minute. There's no point bringing a second one in because you're going to have to, you know, then extra work another centre man, where I think Comps and Garside are already, you know, worked enough Chevy and centre in the other line.
We're sitting two imports?
Well, we're sitting McCutcheon. The other one's injured.
Right, but we're still maximum import.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So to have Chewback and goal, if you're going to bring Stephen Murphy in, the only way you're going to do that is if you're going to bring one of your other imports into the game. I just don't see it. I think you play your hot hand, unfortunately, for Stephen Murphy. If he backs up, all well and good, because that's a fantastic backup to have in your locker room. But
that's interesting, because you were very adamant last week that if Stephen Murphy is fit, both you and Paddy, and I agree with you on this one. You know, if Stephen Murphy's fit, you said last week, he plays, there's no debate about it.
There would be no debate about it 2 weekends ago for me. And Carson Chewback has turned from, well, not say from zero to hero, but he wasn't playing particularly well down the stretch. Now, was that down to an element of RD being loose and not playing tight in front of him? We've had definitely had a slight change in system, and we're going for that, get that go ahead goal. And we have changed the system of how we defend. And are we protecting our goalie more? And Carson Chewback is facing less rubber, or the rubber he's facing are poorer quality shots, as in we are controlling where the shots are coming from. So rather than we're allowing people on the inside to score and get in on top of them and get those garbage goals, that people aren't getting them at the minute. So for me, Chewback's played himself in. Murph would be a very, very difficult call to bring in a goalie who's played one game. If we're talking about last week, you'd have been saying, you know, Murphy could have played the 5 game and 2 games against Cardiff going into the playoffs. To go into the playoff final with one game many, many weeks ago, I can't see it at this stage.
Paddy?
Yeah, I have to go with that. I think, I had a long discussion on Twitter over the fact that if Murphy was fit, then you pay him, because we know how good Stephen Murphy is. And I've said it week on week that I haven't been the biggest fan of Carson Chewback. Again, I'll say over these last 2 weekends, I hold up my hands. I will say he's been absolutely fabulous for the Giants. Now, going into last weekend against the Cardiff Devils. And that first game, if Murphy had been fit, I'd have wanted him to play. If he had been fully fit, I'd have wanted him to play. He didn't. Carson Chewback did, and he played brilliantly. Mm-hmm. You go with the hot hand now. You do. It's Murph's obviously got a reason why he can't play. Chewback's on fire at the minute. He's played him, as Davey says, he's played himself into this. I think that had it been touch and go for this weekend that we had scraped through, I don't think it would have been as unanimous in my decision of the fact that Chewback would come in. But having seen him play those 2 games and play brilliantly, then he has to be the leading goalkeeper going into the game against the Coventry Blaze, which is great for him. It's great for the Giants, because you can now have Carson Chewback between the pipes, and you've got Stephen Murphy on the bench if needed. And that's not a bad situation for the Giants to be in. But what I will say, two other points I want to bring in from this game, something in particular that you brought up, Coach, last week, of the fact that the Devils' power play was sitting in around 40%. The Devils' power play on Sunday night shot at 40%, 2 from 5. But the Belfast Giants came in at 100%, 1 from 1.
Yeah, I felt a bit sorry for Big Westgarth on Sunday night.
Well, that's the other point I was going to bring in after his hit.
Yeah, he took 2 penalties, and the Cardiff Devils scored on both of those penalties as Big Westgarth sat in the box, and Thorpe was very quick. As soon as he came out of the box, he sat his ass down on the bench again until late in the third period. You know, I thought one of the calls was fair enough, and I thought one of the other ones was I wasn't fully in agreement with the second call, I think it was, on Westy. Listen, he's trying to play physical, because that's what we want from him, and sometimes, on Friday night, we talked about it. The referees let things go. Big hits going in. Sometimes we hack some whacks here and there. But, you know, Murph says it numerous times on Premier Sports as well. Talks about the Zdeno Chara effect. And I sometimes wonder whether Big Westy gets a hard Sorry for the F-bomb there, Paddy. Apologize
to the listeners.
Sorry about that silent one. I was semi-silent. Sometimes wonder whether he gets a hard deal out of some of the refereeing. On occasions, he's, you know, the Zdeno Chara effect, as I say. Big guy on a smaller guy, and sometimes the refs just blow the whistles. But, yeah, Cardiff Devils are lethal on the power play, and we needed to maintain our discipline. Just thankfully, we got the go-ahead goals and raised that aggregate score and put them under a lot of pressure. But, yeah, their power play is something to behold, especially at the BBT.
Well, the Belfast Giants, as I said, progressed to the finals in Nottingham with an 8-3 win on aggregate over the Cardiff Devils. Just a couple more of these three-word weekends, boys. We've got Charlene Aitchison with Super Belfast Giants. We've got Jake Proctor with One Last Push. And we've got Samantha Waite with two more wins. I'm not going to be accused of going down one line. I will bring up the fact that Carsey said papered over cracks, Davey. Now, we haven't been great this season. Does he have a point?
What about would just ride the win this weekend? You know, yes, it's been a difficult season. We have not played well since Christmas. There's no doubt. You can't, you know, stats don't lie. Performances don't lie.
Ding.
You know, I hate ding. I have to get rid of that next. You know, okay. We could, you know, we could look back and dissect things and be critical about things, and we have been, maybe not as much as some people want us to be, but it is what it is at this stage, to quote another guy. It is what it is. We're now in the playoff finals. After playing four tremendous games of hockey, we've talked about getting settled lines, which we have. We've talked about getting momentum, which we have. We've talked about needing a hot goalie, which we've got. Let's just ride the high. Let's not get too high, as Mike Babcock would say. Let's not get too high. We haven't tried to get too low when we've sucked it. You know, let's not try and get too high, but this is a big, big weekend coming up for us. I was going to give you a three-word weekend, which Robbie Sandrock came off with outside the locker room last night, but I'll not.
Yeah, I've heard what that was. Coach?
I can see both sides of it, Paddy. I tend to agree with Davey in terms of let's ride this one out. It was a very, very positive weekend for the club. But I think the bottom line is, both through retirements and probably through the coach's decisions, as they'll tend to materialise over the course of summer, I think we'll see quite a change in our roster next season. But it's been a difficult season, so it has. We've talked about it extensively. We've seen plenty on social media and all the rest. This is a club, you know, Craig Peacock said it in his post-game interview on Premier Sports yesterday. You know, he was very quick to say, listen, this is a franchise that is built on success. It demands success, and so we bloody well should. You know, we have a lot of good things going for us. We have a fantastic fan base. We have a state-of-the-art arena. We have got good, solid, passionate ownership. We've got a really good coach in place, somebody who is an excellent recruiter. I was talking to Kelman again last night. He reiterated again how good a recruiter Steve Thornton is. Don't forget, Thornton's only had to recruit a few players this season for our club. Wait until next season. I think Steve Thornton is going to put together a really, really top side. I think we're going to see size on the back end. A couple of big guys, the Mike Burgoyne type players, big physical guys, but guys who can skate, guys who can transition the puck really well. And I think we're going to be younger. I think we're going to be fresher. I think up front we'll see a lot more speed up front as well. Yes, it's been a disappointing season, but you know what? We were bloody brilliant this weekend when it mattered, in a quarterfinal of the playoffs against a really good team. Now we go to the big dance in Nottingham. So let's be positive leading down the stretch. But I can see both sides of it.
Do you know who else has came in for plenty of stick on the podcast this season for not following up maybe the old sophomore slump that people sometimes have? Cody Brookwell has took a lot of stick. See the two games at the weekend?
Brilliant.
I thought he was absolutely tremendous.
Yep.
Agreed.
Maybe at times he kept doing a bit of what I've been overcritical of him, and he's trying to be the transitional D-man, where I would rather he's just the big, steady, stay-at-home guy, but he carried the puck very well into their zone. did the sensible thing, chipped it in, got back, took his possession. I thought he had a really, really good weekend's hockey under his belt there.
We'll finish off with this section with James McConville, whose three-word weekend was Todd Kellman. Got it.
Do you know what? I'll give Kellman his due. He commended the bar afterwards, and there was no banter or anything like that. Respectful, and he came over and gave a hug and said, "Congratulations, be cheering for you in the playoff finals." As no doubt he will. And he ended up drowning the sorrows last night. What a good night.
You can check out the post-game interviews that David did with Steve Thornton, with a bit of a cameo from said Todd Kellman, and Mike Compton on soundcloud.com/AVFDB. And the highlights might be up from Cardiff Devils. If you ask Kitchy, he never got to see the highlights when the Steelers absolutely tanked them. So touch and go, will you see the highlights of this game or not? But let's hope so. Come on, Todd. Let's see the highlights of this game. Before we go, we're going to hear from Carson Chewback and Chuck Weber later on the show, but we'll have a quick chat, gents, about tonight's awards dinner that took place in Belfast for the Belfast Giants. I'll run through the awards as have been tweeted up by Hayden Parry. Defenseman of the Year went to Jeffrey Mason. Forward of the Year went to Daryl Lloyd. Unsung Hero Award went to Garside. Unsung Hero is always a strange one for me. Surely by giving it, then you're singing. I don't know. Community Service Award went to Calvin Elfring. The Player's Player of the Year, undoubtedly, Adam Keefe. And the Coach's Player of the Year, Ray Sawada. Coach, why did you pick Ray Sawada?
I am with Steve Thornton on that 100%. I've said to you boys for months now how much I've fallen for big number 12. You know, still not the best number 12.
He's no Brock McBride, you're right. He's no Brock McBride.
We're a club that's been very blessed with some supreme number 12s, that is for sure. But Ray Sawada's right up there. Quality hockey player. And he's shown his quality over the last 3 or 4 months for me. He works his tail off, hard in the forecheck, taking the body now, trashing that net, his goal on Friday night. Chevy, good play down the left wing, throws it across the crease, and Ray Sawada's battling, I think it was Carl Hudson, battling to be first to that puck, gets a stick on the end of it, past Ben Bounds. And that's the drive and determination that you need from your big power forward, and that's exactly what Ray Sawada's brought to our hockey club this season. So no surprise to me at all to see Steve Thornton picking him as the Coach's Player of the Year.
Davey, the Forward of the Year and also Kingdom of the Giants MVP for this year, Daryl Lloyd, and another one richly deserved.
Yeah, Lloyd's had an absolutely fantastic season for the club. He, I think says and coach described him as the Duracell bunny on the webcast. The guy, perpetual motion. He can never accuse Daryl Lloyd of, taking a shift off. He doesn't. He just plays that. Remember the press release about him when he first signed for the club, and it was something along the lines of, he's irresponsibly reckless or something. He just goes full time every time, and it's fantastic to have him on our club. Long may he stay with us. He added a lot of goals to his game early season. That big stretch pass from Sandrock to Lloyd was one of the highlights of the early part of the season, where he was picking him out with that stretch pass and bang, and Lloyd finished a couple of real beauties. The goal where he came out of the penalty box against Fife, goes in 1-0 and scores. He's had a brilliant season. Last night, right into the playoffs, he plays playoff hockey 60 games a season. And okay, it's maybe not sustainable for every player in the locker room to play with that intensity, but my goodness, it's great to have a couple of players in your team that do that night in, night out.
Any of the other awards stand out to you, Coach?
Yeah, I thought very richly deserved for Elfie for his community work. We know the work that the likes of Kiefer and of course Shieldsy do and have done over the years for the club. But Elfie does a good bit as well with all his diabetes work and what have you. And, Calvin Elfring's another one this weekend that just stood out to me massively. The thing that I noticed with Elfie? It is a guy that's coming towards the end of his career and all the rest. And he had that real intensity. And the camera zoomed in on him yesterday. And it was in the final minute of the game. And he skated off the ice. And he walked behind the bench. And he was he was like not punching like an aggressive way, obviously, but like punching the back of everyone, all of his teammates, you know, on the back of their heads, going brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. He was so intense. He was brilliant at the weekend. He just, you could see how much he really, really wanted it. And that guy is, he epitomizes to me everything the Belfast Giants brand is about.
Yeah.
What he gives to us on the ice and what he gives to us off the ice. And he's a total gentleman. You're in McCool's after the bar, or after the game in the bar. Calvin Elfring's not one of these guys that comes in and stands by himself or stands in the group of players. Calvin Elfring will go from table to table to table and talk to fans all night long. And that's what you want from your players. That's an important thing that has been installed here within our club, mainly from the Todd Kelman era and what have you. And that's what we want to continue to grow and build as a club. Get those types of guys on board. Calvin Elfring, a top, top ambassador for our club.
Before I come to you, Davey, just so I know people probably listening, thinking, are they going to talk about the retirements? I'm not going to talk about any retirements until retirements take place. So that's, we'll save that for another day. You look at those awards, and what do you see?
Yeah, I can't. I think the one award that you always wanted to win when you were playing yourself, obviously football in my case, was that I was lucky to win it on a few occasions, but I've had a very long career, to be fair, so I didn't win it. There was a lot more years that didn't win it, but the Players' Player of the Year, you know, to be selected by your fans as the best player or by your coach is nice, but to be selected by your peers, by your teammates, is really an award that everybody wants to win. You know, you want your teammates, everyone creates acceptance in life, if you like. Everybody wants to be the guy to look up to, and for your captain to be looked at by the rest of the players at the end of the season as he's our go-to guy. You know, he's still our leader. Endorsing, putting the C on his chest at the start of the season. You know, Adam Keefe, you talk about Elfie being everything you want to be in a Belfast Giant, and I can't argue with that one bit. I lap the guy up. Nothing ever lasts forever. And unfortunately, we don't know what the future holds for Elfie, whether it be in the Giants shirt or whether it be skating off into retirement. Paddy, as you said, we don't want to talk about that sort of thing. But, you know, whatever the future is for him, he has been a Belfast giant. And as Adam Keefe, since the day and hour he walked through those Odyssey doors, and still, to see last night, Cardiff Devils fans, you know, not even faux pretense, pure, unadulterated, you know, fawning over him. They love the guy and he plays for us. We should be very proud. That Twitter went meltdown last night with Cardiff fans begging him to come and sign in Cardiff. Adam Keefe's a giant for life. Just keep your paws off him. We're very, very, very lucky to have him. And, you know, if you could bleed teal, that would be the colour of his blood.
Well, no, sorry to interrupt you, Paddy. I think Killer once said, you know, maybe at the back end of last season, players like Adam Keefe only come around once in a generation. And, you know, we've been very, very blessed. How many years had we talked about the need to try and how do you replace Paxton Schulte? How do you replace when you get on the ice somebody that's willing to drop the gloves, a franchise player? I haven't really had one since Schulte. Adam Keefe's your franchise player.
I'm just going to finish off, gents, with a bit of an ode to Jeff Mason, Defenseman of the Year, mm-hmm. and richly deserved. I think Jeff Mason is a player. Players come in and out of form, you know, and we talk about it year on year, but, you know, maybe you had a bit of a slump here and a bit of a slump there. I can't remember the last time that Jeff Mason had a slump. I think this time last year, all the way to the playoff final, we were talking about how great he was playing the back end of last year, the start of last year. Jeffrey Mason, in his speed, in his transitional play, in his shots from the point, and his actual defensive work, one of the best defensemen we've ever had, I think, and an absolute wonder and an absolute delight to watch week in, week out, and a well-deserved Defenseman of the Year award, and another player I'd like to see back in Giants colours next season.
Hear, hear.
Okay, let's move ahead, gents. Carson Chewback, as we said, has caught some flack from us and a few fans in the last number of weeks, but with back-to-back Odyssey shutouts and a sterling performance against Cardiff, he's really hitting form at a real crunch time. Exactly what the Belfast Giants needed. And Davey caught up with him to talk about the success in Cardiff and look ahead to the playoff finals.
Carson, it's been a while since we last spoke to you. You'd literally just arrived. You'd been dropped in at the deep end, Murphy'd injured. It must have all been a bit of a mad blur for you.
Yeah, for sure. It's actually hard to even imagine now looking back, but yeah, I really got put into the fire and really just went from there and kind of winged it, and it's been a great experience along the way.
Yeah, the almost immediate highs of, you know, campaign in France, did those European trips help, you know,
get you comfortable with the team, with the surroundings, with the city. You know, that those little away trips galvanized the squad.
Yeah, it really threw me right into it. It was a great experience, obviously, and I got to see a couple of, got to know my teammates well during the trip. So, yeah, it was a great experience for sure.
And it's been a pretty difficult regular season, let's be honest, since Christmas. That, you know, the form's been up and down. It's been really difficult. But, you know, we've turned a bit of a corner in the last couple of weeks, playoff hockey in town now. You know, is that something we're really engaging for the challenge here?
Yeah, no, it's been a tough season. There's been a lot of ups and downs, and I mean, things haven't gone exactly the way we'd hoped, but we've been trying the whole time, so obviously we're not going to quit now. And yeah, things seem to be looking up right now, so maybe the hockey gods owe us a couple bounces, you know?
And on a personal level, you've been a real hit with the fans as much off the ice as, you know, on it. You have your own songs, your chants, VTs on the big screen. That must be something that means a great deal to you.
Yeah, honestly, that's a huge credit to them. It's something that, like, I've never even seen before. So for it to be about myself is really something special. I really appreciate it. And last night, actually, it hit me really hard when they were singing and everything. So it was really a good time. And, yeah, it's really been something special here.
And then, obviously, look forward to this weekend. It's going to be a big, exciting weekend. It's the pinnacle of the hockey season. It's the playoff finals. Don't know how much you know about it, but obviously the sold-out arena in Nottingham, every fan from every club, yeah, you know, there. And we've got a big game on Saturday night, you know, against Coventry.
Yeah, no, it's really exciting. I'm looking forward to it already, obviously. From what I hear, it's a really special weekend, and I'm really glad we could make it there for the fans. It was really nice to beat Cardiff out. We owed those guys a couple, so it was a big win for us, and we're really excited for this weekend as well.
And can't let you go without asking you, for your season's highlight, you must have a highlight of coming over here to Belfast, being plucked almost from your sitting room one night to being in Belfast the next. You must have a few highlights of the last 6 months.
I mean, honestly, it's all been great. I really take everything one step at a time, and I really just tried to focus on one day at a time here. So it's been a great experience. I mean, from Steve giving me the opportunity, and obviously getting to travel to France and just meeting all the players and stuff, it's all been fantastic. So I wouldn't change anything for the world. But no, I really just, I mean, maybe the fans with the songs and their stuff, and that's really the highlight that I'm going to remember. But really just everything about Belfast and how different the experience has been from this, like, my first time being in Europe. So it's been a really good time, and I'm never going to forget it.
Well, obviously, Carson, we thank you for all your efforts this season, and we hope that your highlightless season has yet to be written. It's coming this weekend.
Exactly. That'd be a good thing. So hopefully you're right.
All the best. We'll see you on the weekend, mate. Cheers.
Thank you very much.
Well, it was billed as EIHL Super Sunday, and it really delivered. We have our final four for the playoffs in Nottingham, and they are the Coventry Blaze, the Sheffield Steelers, the Hull Stingrays, and our own Belfast Giants. Looking at those games quickly, Coventry eliminated the Nottingham Panthers, a 3-3 game in Nottingham, and a 2-1 win for Coventry at the Sky Dome, while Sheffield eliminated the Fife Flyers only by a goal, an odd goal that came in the dying minutes. Well, I suppose it was that odd goal that came in the dying minutes up in Fife that ultimately did it, despite the fact that, with the Sheffield Steelers winning, our good friend Dave Sims said the kitchen is closed, only for the Fife Flyers to come back and make a real game of it.
Just so stupid.
Silly thing to put out. Hull eliminated the Brayhead clan, 3-2 to the clan in Brayhead, 2-1 in Hull, and then Lauzon with the OT winner at the most versatile arena. Davey, listen, with seeds 2, 3 and 4 being eliminated, that's one hell of a result for that day.
I'd love to listen back to our predictions from last week when we said, oh, I think Sheffield will be a very tight game. I think Coventry will win. I think Belfast will win. And I can't remember what the other game even was.
Hull against Brayhead, man.
Hull against Brayhead.
I think
I took Hull as well.
No, you didn't.
I don't think you did.
Shoo.
And by the way, we all took Nottingham in our conversation, but when it came to the actual vote, neither of you two boys, both of you refused to say the Nottingham
would go through. I refute that accusation.
Yeah, get that audio back up there. Andy has all the shows on a pen drive. Andy, look up, tell us what happened there. If you listen to the shows from 2010, at least you'll listen to last week's. As someone put on Twitter there, choke, you know, the official sports drink of the EIHL runners up. You know, Brayhead choked badly in the last few weeks. You all right there, coach? Brayhead choked badly in the last few weeks. And to go, you know, okay, Hull have been a very good team this season. We've went 50-50 with them.
Yeah.
They're no mugs, but you would have taken Brayhead Clan. I've got a pretty strong team, good goaltending. You know, they've got a few all-stars in there. You know, you would have taken them to come out on top over seven periods as it took them. But, a few upsets. It just shows you that the league is just all about seeding for the playoffs.
Coach, listen, on that, the Brayhead Clan, you know, they've went from elite league champion to Leicester to being eliminated by the seventh seed in overtime. Finnerty's going to come in for a lot of flack from that.
Funny, I spoke to the Clan head coach this morning about the game, and he said, you know what? We actually didn't play that badly. We actually played pretty well. Hull just were the better team on the night, and yeah, they deserve to go through. But he said it certainly wasn't a poor performance from the Brayhead Clan. But I've no doubt if you go retrospectively back and look at the Brayhead Clan's loss to the Edinburgh Capitals in that league run-in, that was a huge pivotal moment for them. But yeah, they've had a very poor back end of the season. And I'm sure, you know, I think Finner's got a few retirements coming up as well at the end of the season, and no doubt he'll go about addressing that. But yeah, very disappointing for Finner, Gareth Chalmers, and that Brayhead Clan organisation. But as I said, when Murph and I were chatting about it last night on Premier, Paddy said Brayhead Clan are 5 years in existence, so they are, and they're a club on the up. I could see Brayhead Clan being a major force in British ice hockey over the next 10, 15 years. That club's just going to continue to grow and grow. They could easily turn into a powerhouse. Spit the bricks out. Powerhouse in this league over the coming years.
Do you know what I would... Sorry, Paddy. Do you know what I would say about the Brayhead Clan? We talked often enough about their revolving door policy with regards to their coaches. I think it's time for them to be brave and stick with Finnerty. Now, I know Finnerty's came in for more stick from us than enough people, probably more down to his style of hockey when he was a player, you know, as coaches always call him, that sort of rink rat type player, you know, and a bit of like the Sacratinis and probably a bit like the Lloyds and the Shane Johnson from us. You love them when they're on your team, you hate them when they're against you. But, you know, he's building something in Brayhead there, and I think it would be foolish for that organisation. I think it's time for Brayhead, you know, be loyal to Finnerty here. They've had the case, as I've already said, they're over a number of seasons where they've changed coach, and it has given them instability. And now they've got an element of stability. Okay, the last few weeks have sucked a bit, but, you know, this is the time for them to be brave, stick with their coach, let him stick with his plan, what he's building there. He's got a roster in place, and he'll want to tinker with it. He'll want to get rid of a few boys. As you've already said, coach, there are some boys will leave, some boys will retire, and he'll strengthen, and they will be a force again next season.
One thing that I really noticed from the three or four trips over to Brayhead this season, he's got that dressing room 100%, has Finnerty. He's a good guy. He's a old school hockey guy. He's no real issue with his guys having a bit of fun off the ice as long as they turn up to play on the ice. And that's what they've done on the whole. Down the stretch, okay, things have gone a bit haywire for him. But as Davey said there, I have no doubt whatsoever that Finnerty will address a few key issues there over the course of the summer, and that Brayhead team certainly going into the Champions Hockey League as well. I think Neil Black will throw a bit more resource behind them as well, and they'll be a pretty strong team next season again, no doubt about that.
One more point to make, sorry, we're going to have to move along, David, because one more point to make before we move along is the fan, just looking at the three-word weekends, 24/7 TV said Outsiders, Neil Sunday, but Johnny from Donny, Neil Black double, and Helen Bullard. Helen Bullard said, neutral venue, Nottingham. Davey, for the second year in succession, the Nottingham Panthers will not be at the Final Four weekend. They've been defeated by the Coventry Blaze. How does this affect the franchise? How does this affect Corey Nielsen?
I would say there'd be an element of pressure on him. He has brought great success there over the sort of last 6-7 years, whatever it's been. You know, I think this is their first trophy this year in 5-6 seasons. I'm getting away ahead of myself there. It doesn't really count in Nottingham. It only counts in Belfast, but I believe the open top bus parade is Monday morning. Yeah, they'll lure that up a bit. I'm sure there'll be a special ring or something brought out. But like Nielsen, before he won the mystical, first league in 157 years or whatever it was, he was under pressure, even though he was bringing elements of silverware here, there. You know, I think him and Strachan, the organisation will have a re-look at the whole setup there because it hasn't been a successful season. How much did the effect of starting the Champions League and starting early and starting with such a large roster and then having to chip away at it, boys leaving, boys coming, and they've had, the old Nottingham Panthers casualty list has been pretty significant as well over the season. I've seen a fantastic article in the Nottingham Post, which isn't written by somebody with only one eye at all, but they really took the task by Kowalski being missing, he's been a big loss for them. So kudos, Kevin Westgarth. it's going to be something that they're going to have to look at in the close season. I think it's going to be a long weekend for the likes of Aaron Lord, who's queued up for 24 hours to get a ticket, and now his team have not paid him back for that loyalty, and I'm sure he'll be rocking himself to sleep for the next few nights. But we'll not remind him at the weekend.
Coach, as you said, I think there was 1,200 tickets went on sale on eBay this morning, both from the Clan fans and from Nottingham fans. I joke, of course, but that's a real hammer blow to that organisation.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, the Nottingham Panthers in their treble winning season were a joy to watch. What a team that was, with David Ling at the epicentre of that side, who's now, as a 40-year-old, going on to play in the American League again, which is quite phenomenal. But the last couple of seasons, the Panthers have just been a really different team, a team that I don't identify as or see as a Panthers side. We're always used to seeing over the years Nottingham Panthers been physical on the back end. How many times have I said this? Guy Lapine, Jason Beckett type guys, Brian Thompson, these huge big physical presences at the back. Then you've got your finesse players, your Lee Jimmins over the years. Chris Higgins this year, okay, he's been out injured quite a bit, but your David Lings, your Jordan Foxes. I mean, these guys are all supreme hockey players, and that is what their teams have always been built on, that type of ethos, that type of gritty hockey, but mixed in with the finesse. I suppose in some ways, a bit like the Belfast Giants, albeit we've probably, we've obviously picked up more league trophies than them, so we have on the whole. But I mean, yeah, strange. It's strange from Corey in terms of recruitment. Just things haven't gone his way. It's been a very different Nottingham Panthers side to the one that I am used to seeing over the years.
Interesting. Sorry, Paddy, jump in there because I know you're going to try and close the site here. Phil Baum has just written a piece, his weekly piece on the Cat's Whiskers. No holds barred. The Nottingham Panthers fans, like any fan base, can be a little fickle. Nielsen wasn't far from getting his head removed there not that many years ago. And he wasn't the best. Like, Strachan came in, changed the whole club around for him. And they've rode a lot of success over the last years. Suddenly, when you just don't have that success year on year, your fan base can turn against you very quickly, and the knives are out for him.
I'm sure there are plenty since time to go. I just wonder whether Corey might decide to go as well. I mean, nobody knows. At the end of the day, we're all just chatting here about it, and we have no real idea what Corey's thoughts are, what the Nottingham Panthers' thoughts are. I mean, I'm led to believe Neil Black has a very, very good relationship with Corey and believes in him. I mean, he's brought a lot of success to the Panthers organisation. But it's a bit like ourselves. They're a club. They're a very successful club commercially. And they've been built on a lot of success over the last lot of years. And that, on the whole, has been down to Corey Nielsen has been the man at the top of that as coach and brought silverware. But their league campaigns and obviously over the last couple of seasons and obviously not reaching the playoff finals weekend, everyone wants to be at the big dance at the end of the season. It's the end of the season. It's a chance to say cheerio and take that trophy away with you for the summer with a big smile. And the Panthers aren't going to have that opportunity again. So I think he will be under a bit of pressure. There'll certainly be questions asked as to whether or not he'll be shown the door. I'm not 100% sure, but you never know. Corey might head on himself.
Well, boys, we've talked about the teams that have been eliminated. It's actually time to talk about the main event. The 2015 Elite League Playoff Finals weekend is upon us this Saturday. The two semi-finals, the first one at 1 p.m, the Sheffield Steelers will take on the Hull Stingrays, while following that at 5 p.m, our own Belfast Giants will face the Coventry Blaze. Before we look over the weekend with our good friend Aaron Murphy coming right up, earlier today I spoke with the head coach of the Coventry Blaze, Chuck Webber. And with the Blaze taking the Giants on in the second semi-final, we thought we'd gauge his approach to the weekend. Delighted on a view from the bridge to welcome back a man we spoke with a number of weeks ago. It's the head coach of the Coventry Blaze, Chuck Webber. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Thanks, I appreciate it. How are you doing this evening?
Not too bad, not too bad. I'm sure you're a happy man. Listen, the game against Nottingham, the playoff quarter-final and now advancing to the semi-finals, it was a tight affair between yourselves and the Panthers, but was the key maybe that not losing at the NIC and being able to take that game back to your own rink?
Yeah, I think that was a big part of it. I mean, we got off to good fast starts in both games. You know, we went up 2-0 in both games, 1 and 2, and you know, that allowed us to not have to chase the game, and I think that was a big part of our success. And you know, I thought the guys stuck to our structure and our game plan, and you know, we gave up a lot of shots, but I thought we gave up a lot of shots from the perimeter. And then when we needed the big save, Brian Stewart was there for us like he has been all season.
Well, you said last time we spoke about the fact that you had your targets and you wanted to build from the back and get that defense structure in place and then start to think about the forwards. But Brian Stewart has been a real key guy, you know, across the league. Everybody knows, you know, he's a real tough cookie to beat, and he's been really key in the successes of reaching this Final Four.
Well, he has been. You know, he's been great for us. You know, the guys have a lot of confidence in him that if they do make a mistake, that he'll bail them out. You know, and Brian's got a fantastic hockey IQ. You know, we talk about our structure and kind of where our holes are, and we know where they are. And, you know, he's able to be able to defend those areas and give us the best chance to win hockey games.
Last time, say, we spoke, you said you had a number of targets when you came into this job, and you know, following the successes of last weekend and as well as building the Blaze into one of the Elite League's form teams at the moment, there's no doubt about that. How close do you feel you're actually fulfilling those targets, or do you feel you've surpassed them?
No, we had our goals when I first got here. We knew the league championship was out of our reach, but, you know, we wanted to put a push on for the Challenge Cup. You know, unfortunately, we fell short with that one. But, you know, getting the chance to upset Brayhead the way we did, I don't think many people gave us a chance out of the get-go. You know, we were close to getting our goal of being 500. I think we ended up one game under for the regular season, and now we got to this Final Four weekend and hopefully a chance to reach the Challenge Cup. And I think it'd be a feather into all these players' caps to be able to do that. You know, I've been really proud of the work ethic the boys have displayed and the self-sacrifices they've made since I've been here to turn this program in a proper direction.
What do you think the key to that has been, Chuck? The fact that, you know, you have had that turnaround to turn the Blaze into one of the form teams of the Elite League. Where exactly do you pinpoint the fact that that's been able to happen?
Well, I think there was a collective buy-in by the team. I think guys, you know, like Steve Gortzen and Mike Egner kept the ship on path, kind of, and bridged the gap, you know, as their time as kind of player assistant coaches here, you know, and then you look at leadership guys, you know, have stepped up at different times, you know, and like we said, Brian has been a catalyst for us throughout. So really when I kind of came in, I just kind of tried to look at the strengths of this team, the weaknesses, and then kind of identify that and kind of try to play to those strengths and give us a chance to win games. And if you look as we've won a lot of 2-1, 3-2 hockey games. We're not a team that's going to go out and put up 5 or 6 goals every night. And it's a credit to the boys to buying into an identity. It's not always the most glamorous way to play the way we do, but it's effective. And, you know, the boys have bought in, which has been great.
And it's really developed an excitement at the Sky Dome. The atmosphere at the weekend was fantastic.
It was, you know, either we were sold out or only a few seats short of it. The fan support was great. Probably the game in Nottingham was the loudest I'd heard our fans on the road all season, and You know, the boys, you know, our fans, you know, deserve a team that's going to go out and work hard and represent Coventry. And, you know, they've supported us win or lose. You know, the boys have worked hard and they've appreciated that, which has been great.
The playoffs here, you know, playoffs in hockey are a traditional hotbed for, you know, hockey excitement, but the format of UK hockey means that you only have to win four games to take that title. Do you feel that brings a heightened challenge or an increased intensity to what you have to bring on the ice?
Well, it has to be an increased intensity. I mean, in typical North America, you can have one bad game and still recover because you got to win usually four out of seven. You know, I come from a background where, you know, every championship I've won, I've had to win between 14 and 16 games after the regular season was already over. You know, so it's more of a marathon while this is a sprint. So we've really harped on the guys from that standpoint is how important, I mean, you'd say playoff hockey, how important every shift is, but it's even to a greater degree here in the Elite League where it's only, you know, well, 120 minutes in the quarterfinals, but potentially only 60 minutes in the semis and the finals. So it's a much smaller scale.
Do you feel that makes it easier or makes it, there's greater risk?
No, I think it's always, I don't know if it's necessary either or. It's just, it's a situation you have to have that intensity to your game. You know, you have to have that focus. You can't take a shift off because before you know it, you could be down 3 or 4-0 and, you know, you don't have a game two to bounce back. That could be it. So, you know, from that standpoint, you have to be focused right from the start. You have to put your prep work in from the get-go and then and be ready to go.
Well, of course, this Saturday afternoon in a sold-out National Ice Centre in Nottingham, you'll take on our own Belfast Giants in the semi-final. And these are two teams, both with high fan expectations, maybe not achieving what fans are normally used to in the successes. And both are going to be out there to prove a point this Saturday.
Well, yeah. I mean, Belfast is one of the premier teams in this league. I mean, you look at the players that are on the lineup, you know, you look at their hockey DBs or their elite prospects. I mean, they've played for a lot and they've had success at a lot of high levels from the American League to the NHL to the DEL, you know, all the way down the line. So, you know, it's a talented team and our boys know that, you know, Belfast can play a heavy game. And, you know, we have to be prepared for that and, you know, be, you know, capitalize on opportunities. There's been a lot of close games between the two teams. I think, I mean, the last time in Belfast, we lost 2-0. The two times before in our building, I think they were both, 3-2 wins. Mm-hmm. And then going back, my first two of my early games with the team, I think they were, 3-1 and 3-2 on a goal coming off a power play with like 7 seconds left in the game. So it's, but they've been close games throughout. So it's going to be a tight checking affair.
So you've, looking ahead, then we've got this big weekend. It's going to be fantastic for both teams. Where does the future of Chuck Weber lie? A lot of fans, a lot of Colby fans, hoping they just stick around.
Yeah, you know what? It's we'll see. You know, I'm kind of letting my agent handle a lot of that stuff. You know, I basically told him I just want to worry about the playoffs. So he's good. He'll take care of all that stuff. And when the time is right, I'll make my decisions moving forward, you know, on what's going to be the best fit for me.
Well, in the 4 months you've been in UK hockey, you've certainly had a very positive effect on the Coventry Blaze. I'm sure all the fans would agree with that. And with the, I'd love to say with the playoff semi-final ahead, I wish you luck. Obviously, I don't really wish you luck, but, but it's sure to be a good weekend.
We hope for a great weekend, a great game, and, you know, we're looking forward to it.
Thanks to Chuck Weber for his time, a man who's obviously looking forward to this weekend's games. And he said there about it not being being more of a sprint than a marathon. Well, we've had the opportunity now to talk to a man who's been down the gym because he's got a hockey coverage marathon coming up this weekend, and that's Premier Sports, Aaron Murphy. How are you, mate?
Hey guys, thanks for having me on. Yeah, we're going to get a lot of sleep the next few nights, hopefully, because it's going to be a busy, busy weekend at the NIC.
Well, that's it. You, Premier Sports have wide coverage across all weekend. You and our very own TV's Neil, the Coach Russell is going to on this. Tell us what we're going to get from this weekend from Premier Sports.
Wow, it's you know what, it's pretty incredible. And when I was in the meetings a few weeks ago about what they wanted to do, I was blown away, because you know, a full weekend of hockey on a network that has so many other sports, including NHL and whatnot, it's incredible. We're going to be live from 12:15 on Saturday, and that'll go right through till the end of the second semifinal. So you're talking almost 8 hours of live EIHL coverage on Saturday. Sunday, we're live at 3:15, I believe, and that will go until all celebrations, all trophy, all that sort of stuff. So that's till 8, so that's another 5 hours. So you're talking, you know, 12, 13 hours of EIHL coverage. And I tip my hat to the guys at Premier and the crew, because that's going to be a big, big endeavor. And I know people have said, oh, the final's been on before and all that, but this sort of undertaking's never been done before. So I'm excited, but I'm also, you know, I know Neil and Paul Adey will be ready. So we're going to have to bring our A game. When you're live for 12 or 13 hours of national television coverage, you've got to be ready, and we're excited. I know Neil and I talked about it a little bit. You know, we 3 hours yesterday and whatnot. It's 12 hours. It's going to be magnificent.
Let's have a look at those last couple of weeks that you've had, because especially for the coverage on Premier Sports, it's been brilliant. There was the opportunity that you did have the Belfast Nottingham game, but you give that up to look after, the bigger games, the championship games, and that's really paid off, because you went to Sheffield and you got the game between Sheffield and Cardiff, and then you took the chance this weekend on the Belfast-Cardiff game in the Big Blue Tent, and once again you had a fantastic playoff game there.
Yeah, again, you've got to give the guys at Premier Sports their fair dues, because that Nottingham-Belfast game, when it was picked, really looked like it could be an important game, and I'm not saying it wasn't an important game, but they really wanted to capture a bit of history. In my knowledge, the Monteith Bowl has never been presented on national television. I know in the past, in the Super League days, maybe. But in the EIHL, in its current incarnation, I don't think the league winner, like the Giants won last year in Nottingham and went and celebrated at an establishment we made frequently. But to capture that game, Premier really wanted the fans of the league, and really wanted to expose the league, hoping that, you know, new viewers would see that and see that magic if it did happen live on television. And they wanted to hopefully expose not just the fans that always watch, but new fans, because if you were flicking by that channel on that day between the Steelers and the Devils, you were going to stay and you were going to watch that, and you're going to say, next year I've got to get to a rink and see this live. So that was the impetus behind that. But to capture that special moment, and it was, you know, again, Neil and I touched on it yesterday. It was a sad week for the Steelers. It was a sad week leading up to that game for the hockey community in our league. Amy Usher lost her battle with cancer, and we all were touched by her in different ways. A great friend of the show, she dropped by and had a visit with us when we were at Ice Sheffield. And for those guys to play for her and to win that, it was so apt, and it was a special, special night. And to catch it on television, forget about all the business stuff and new fans, it was just a magical evening, and it really deserved to be on television. It should be on television. Those big games should be on television. The Challenge Cup should be on television. The playoff semifinals should be on television, and they will be. And you know what? Something special I should touch on. At 12:15 up until 1 o'clock on Saturday, I believe the pregame show, so myself, Neil, Paul Adey, and who else will be on the show. I mean, there'll probably be a few special guests, but that will be Freeview from 12:15 up until puck drop. So if you don't have Premier Sports, you can get a taste of what the coverage will be like, and then you can decide for yourself if you want to sign up and watch the games. And I do believe on Sunday before the grand final that at 3:15 we're live up until puck drop Freeview. So on 2 days, we're giving two opportunities, or they're giving two opportunities for fans to see a taste for free and decide if they like the league, like the product, like what we're doing. So again, Premier Sports trying to push the boat out a little bit.
It's something, Murph, you know, you and I have discussed at length about Premier and the coverage in which Premier gives. It really is, you know, you look at the previous deals, say, with the likes of Sky Sports and what have you, and whilst it was good coverage, it was quite limited. But the coverage that Premier Sports are putting out, with the amount of live games throughout the course of the season, both with CHL and all the other competitions, never mind the Elite League, I mean, it really is fantastic coverage all around.
Yeah, there's a lot. Like, I'm doing Swedish Hockey League semifinals tomorrow, or Tuesday and Wednesday. And it's crazy, Svensson, right?
Do you Hansen?
Yeah, Johnson. It's crazy. I was in Zurich and Zug last week for the Champions Hockey League meetings, and we know that we've got the Brayhead Clan, the Sheffield Steelers. There are over 600 hockey games, including the NHL. I've got Team GB from Eindhoven that I'll be covering. They got the Top Pool World Championships from May 1st to the 17th. That's 2 weeks of hockey at the top level. I mean, there's over 600 hockey games on Premier Sports, not to mention shows like NHL Tonight and special things like behind the scenes. We've done things on the under 20s on Pete Russell in the past. It's a lot of hockey, and so for anyone, and I don't care, I will argue to their face, I think Neil had known I've had a little bit more of an edge to me the last few weeks, because a lot of people have been complaining about things. Maybe people saying, well, I can't believe they pulled the Belfast Nottingham game. Well, we did that so you could see a championship game. So I've had a little bit more of an edge. But if anyone wants to have an argument on Saturday or Sunday face to face about the validity of the coverage and what we're trying to do, well, they know where I am. I'm pretty easy to find.
Murph, offering out a throw down there, Murph.
Murph, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned Pete Russell there, and you and I talked about it on air yesterday. You, Premier, obviously do a bit of coverage on the on all the GB games and what have you, and obviously our very own Craig Peacock omitted from the team. I know you're a bit surprised at that.
I'm flabbergasted. I've done the last four GB tournaments going back to the final Olympic qualifiers for Sochi and Riga. A long time ago, but I think, and this is no detriment to the team, or I'm not complaining, but I think I've called maybe an average of a goal a game for GB in four tournaments. I mean, they've had games where they've scored four or five, but they've had games where they've had 12 shots on net and no goals. So I think I've called maybe 1.5 goals a game, something like that. I'm sure there's going to be a couple of statos out there that'll correct me. I can argue with them face to face on Saturday or Sunday as well. But my point is that, my point is that you don't leave a natural, I don't care, in my opinion, on my team sheet, you don't leave a natural goal scorer off, and you don't leave a guy off that can help your power play. And we saw that yesterday. He actually deflated the big blue tent with a power play goal, did Craig Peacock. And I think he had a bit of a burn in his saddle yesterday. He was the man of the match. He was magnificent. He should be on that panel, because they struggle to score goals even with him in the lineup. And so how do you leave a guy off the roster that's probably the only natural goal scorer, one of the only natural goal scorers available for selection?
Before that, you go, mate, because you're obviously spurring for a fight. We've got
I've got a newborn at home. I haven't slept a lot, so any criticism or my friends Craig Peacock or you guys is probably a mouthful.
Myself and Davey and Coach will talk about the games more in depth there, but give us your take on these two semi-finals, Sheffield Hull in that first one and Belfast Coventry in the second.
Wow, great quote from Omar Pasha over the last few days. Like, you know, a few days ago we were four wins away from a championship. Now we're two. Why not us? So something to that effect that I saw on social media. I like Omar Pasha a lot. I did a game from Hull earlier this season. I like him. I like Carl Lauzon a lot. Lauzon could play on any team in the Elite League. Why not them? They're going to come up against a team that's a team of destiny, I think, with a lot of the things that have been going on in Sheffield this season, the storylines, the motivation they've had. They're the Monteith Bowl champions. They're a really good team, the best player in the league probably in Mathieu Waugh, a really good goalie in Josh Unis. But you know what? That's probably going to be a little bit more competitive than the last time Hull was at the Final Four weekend a few years ago, where they got beat up pretty bad in the semifinal. Let's hope it is. But I think Sheffield are going to be tough, tough to beat, and I think they'll be hankering to get back to the final. They're the defending champions. They won in overtime last year. Big goal by Drew Fatta, obviously.
Don't remember that.
Yeah, I
neither do I.
Every time I mention it to Palady, he looks at me with a forlorn look on his face. you can't discount the Steelers, right? You can't. There's an old saying, don't bet against the defending champions until the defending champions are done. And I know Omar Pasha and Carl Lauzon will be telling the rest of their team, we're not just happy to be there, we're not happy to make up the numbers. But that'll be a tough one. I expect the Steelers will go through. But look, roll the dice. I thought that Brayhead would go through as well, right? The Coventry-Belfast game, from what I saw, and Neil and I saw live yesterday, that was a proper 60-minute Belfast Giants effort. There was a lot of guys who had that look in their eyes before the game. I thought Nathan Robinson was really good. I thought Chubak was steady and made the saves when called upon. I thought Elfring had a look in his eye that I remember from last season. And you know what? They got goals from all around. Garside with a magnificent performance. So a full roster performance. Lloyd was agitating and hitting. Keith was had that, you know, the look on his face that Keith forgets that he's willing to block shots with his neck or his face or whatever to win. So I think that's going to be pretty tough. And you talked to Chuck Weber there earlier. He's done a magnificent job. That's going to be an absolutely cracking semifinal. I wouldn't be surprised to see Coventry win, but in all likelihood, I think just at a cursory glance and from what I've been thinking since yesterday's game, it's probably looking to shape up that it could be a repeat of last year's final. But look, it could easily be Hull Coventry the way things have gone. Sometimes the hockey gods have a way of shaking things out. But I think that Belfast were immense yesterday. And from what I've seen, I've done a lot of Steelers games this year. They have been, when they want to play hard, they're really tough to beat.
Well, listen, mate, you've got about 5 days to rest up because you've got one marathon ahead of you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot, guys, and I always appreciate getting on, and I hope we can do something with you guys on the weekend, too, I think.
Absolutely. We wouldn't miss it. Thanks, buddy.
All right, cheers, Murph. See you in Nottingham.
Thanks again to Murph. Listen, guys, let's get stuck in. First of all, we'll have a quick breeze over the Sheffield Hull game. First seed against seventh, league champions, so they had a tight win over Fife despite a 3-3 at home. And, Davey, you know, they're looking for back-to-back playoff titles.
Yeah, they've had a very, very successful season. They've relied heavily on three or four players to come up with a lot of points. But I think Coach said earlier in the show there, you know, they've got good goaltending. They're going to take it, but Hull are no mugs. You know, that's a good... The playoffs have been so tight, bar the game in Cardiff for Belfast. You know, one-goal games all over the shop. Draws, one-goal games. You know, there's nothing from top to bottom in this league anymore. And on any given day, and is it good for the fans? Is it good for the product that we're putting out there? On any given day, it is genuine and old hockey cliche, I know, but any team can beat any of the other teams. So, it's not a game I'm going to go and watch myself like, but it'll be a good game, I'm sure.
Coach, listen, the Hull Stingrays are back in the playoff finals for the first time since 2012, and that's probably one that they want to forget. They were beaten, as Murph said earlier on, they were beaten comprehensively by the Nottingham Panthers, 10-3. But Omar Pasha's put together a good side. They've went 50-50 with the Giants, and you know they're tough to beat at their rink, and they came to the Odyssey Arena and took a win. There's no reason why they couldn't put up a good fight against the Sheffield Steelers, who undoubtedly go into this game as favourites.
Whenever I talked earlier on, Paddy, about, you know, next year's Belfast Giants team and you'd be looking for some speed and what have you, you know, we saw last year with the Stingrays, Guillaume Doucette ends up in Nottingham. There's a guy on that whole Stingrays team, and I think Murph alludes to him in that interview, just going, Carlos on, quality hockey player. And, you know, he could potentially unlock the Sheffield Steelers. It's a different Hull Stingrays team in many ways. Like, Omar Pasha's done a really good job. It's a low budget team, but he's done a really good job of getting in good younger hockey players who are hungry for success or hungry to put their bodies in the line. And you know, they've got pretty good goaltending in there as well. Picked up a good acquisition, Kiefer's cousin Jordan Knox from Stanok in Poland midway through the season, and he's been good for them as well. Adds a bit of grit, and he's tenacious on the forecheck and what have you, puts in a good, honest shift every single night. They're a good, honest team of the Stingrays. You know, we have had a disappointing season against them, but, you know, as Omar Pasha said, only two more games and to win a championship, and they could punish you. But I look at the Sheffield Steelers, Paddy, and I just see quality throughout. I still compare them to us, and I think we have more depth than them, certainly in terms of quality. But, you know, you look at Matthew Wye, must be very close to the 100-point mark. Forney, Fredder, these guys are exceptional hockey players. Josh Yunus brought in for Frank Doyle. You know, a huge loss for that organisation was Doyle. And they picked up another stud in Josh Yunus. So I expect the Sheffield Steelers to go through on that one. But I think it'll be a closer game, certainly, than the Hull Stingrays' last appearance at the playoffs.
That game is at 1 p.m. If you're not there, then you can watch it, of course, as we just spoke about, on Premier Sports and their marathon coverage. Let's talk about the second semi-final, one that interests us a lot more. The Belfast Giants will face the Coventry Blaze. The last time these two met in the semi-final was 2013, when the Belfast Giants defeated them 5-1 before going into the final, where they lost in overtime to the Nottingham Panthers. Two teams not short on success in their history, looking probably, Davey, to redeem their season. Now, the Belfast Giants took a win only a couple of weeks ago, a shutout win at the Odyssey Arena, beating the Coventry Blaze 2-0. And going into this game, both teams are probably quite confident.
Two good teams. You know, Coventry have turned a bit of a corner since Weber came in. He's got them playing to his system, and it'll be it could be an attritional game, I think, at times. Certainly in the Odyssey, we've done very well against Coventry, and in Coventry, you know, we should have had slightly more success than we had. We've took our eye off the ball a couple of times there and let late goals in, which cost us, you know, cost us in terms of not maybe winning the league, but it took momentum off us when we were looking like coming away with better wins. And I still think that we have, you know, coaches talked about our depth compared to Sheffield there. We've got depth compared to Coventry. You know, I still hope and pray that we've got enough to turn them over. You can't take anything for granted. It's going to be a very, very tight encounter. And, you know, that's what we come out on the best side of this.
Coach Brian Stewart is a player that I mentioned there to Chuck Webber, and a player who has come up for a lot of plaudits in the last number of weeks, not least in that Nottingham Post article that was mentioned earlier on. But the they've got some good players like Ryan O'Mara, Ash Tate, Steve Gertsen, Derek Lee, all playing really well at the moment. The Giants, now, if the Giants come out and play the way they did last night at the Big Blue Tent, if they can come out on the larger ice surface in the NIC and go at the Coventry Blaze, I'm pretty confident that the Belfast Giants can take a win from this, but there's no guarantees.
Definitely not, especially in playoffs. But I agree completely with you. I think if we were RR to play the way that we did this past weekend, very few teams can live with us whenever we play like that, with that intensity, that speed, that physicality, good solid goaltending. Two players on that Coventry Blaze lineup stand out for me, head and shoulders. The first you've already mentioned there, in Brian Stewart. I mean, hopefully Stephen Murphy gets himself fully fit and is back in tail again next season for the club. We've talked about the virtues of Murph many, many times. But if, for whatever reason, Murph wasn't back between the pipes for the Giants, I would be all over Brian Stewart like a hot rash to get him into Belfast. If that's the route that we decide to go down, he is a top, top drawer. And he has stonewalled the Blaze to plenty of games, plenty of wins this season. He's also kept the score respectable on many nights for the Coventry Blaze as well, certainly more so towards the start of the season. And the other player is O'Mara, former NHLer. That guy is a quality hockey player. He's someone we're going to have to really watch out for on Saturday. He's skating really well at the minute, and he can unlock a defense just in the blink of an eye. And you know, they have good players. They've some good veteran leadership in there with the likes of Ashley Tate, who always puts in a good honest shift as well, night in, night out. And of course, Steve Gertsen, who I think he lifted the trophy last year. Was he captain of the Steelers last
indeed.
Year? Yeah, he lifted the trophy last year for the Steelers at the playoffs, so he'll be looking to emulate that again. So, listen, certainly not taking the Coventry Blaze lightly at all. But as I say, if we play with that speed, that physicality that we know that we have, and that ruthlessness, I would expect us to win that game.
Well, that game takes place at 5 p.m. at the National Ice Centre. The Belfast Giants take on the Coventry Blaze in the semi-final of the playoff championship. How excited are you, Davey?
Very.
Coach?
Mate, I can't wait. I really can't wait.
You need to be in training, mate. You need to get to bed. You've got, like, as I said, the Murphy, like, 5 days to recuperate before you've got, like, about 18 hours of TV to do.
Mate, I had the worst travel schedule ever to get the Cardiff yesterday. So I did, but I'm getting the Nottingham nice and early on Friday. And really looking forward to this weekend, mate. It's always good when your team's there. I know I'm doing Premier. I hope it all works out this year. Last year it was a bit disastrous where Drew Fada's overtime goal, my head dropped instantly. I had to go on the ice and interview Stephen Bloody Meyer, but the heart was broken. But I'm really looking forward to it. And it's a special time of year as well. And I know it's so difficult for Belfast fans. It's an expensive weekend when you're taking all the flights, the tickets and the accommodation, all that type of stuff. We tend to have to fly over the day before, and it turns into a 3 or 4 day job for Belfast fans. But it's such a special time of the year, and in some ways it can be quite sad come that Sunday evening when, you know, you're saying cheerio to people that you know you're not going to see for another, you know, 4 or 5 months and what have you, all head off into the summer. But that's I always think the playoff weekend just encapsulates everything that's brilliant about this sport. And yes, we all slag each other off in terms of our clubs and our fan bases, but that NIC building, you have 8,000 people or 7,500 people coming in from all around the league, and it's one big hockey family, and everyone's there to celebrate the great sport that we all love so much.
A view from the bridge in a nutshell. I asked Davey a question. He says, very. I asked Coach the same question, and he talks for about 3 minutes. Sorry, Davey, go ahead.
I have a challenge for you, Coach. Mike Babcock, the old Detroit Red Wings head coach, always at some stage in a Detroit playoff run, of which there's like been many, because that's, what's that, Patty, now 24 years or something? Always wears his old school tie in one of the games. So I'm going to challenge you to crack that Inch tie out at the weekend for one of the broadcasts.
It's going to struggle with a nice new Navy three-piece suit, mate. Black doesn't necessarily go with the Navy too well. Struggle. I'll do my best at some stage to get a wee glimpse on it for you.
Well, one more thing before we finish up, lads, is that the guys at the Cat's Whiskers have graciously invited us back to stand on the stage at Bunkers Hill on Sunday. Davey, enjoy that. It's going to be fun, this one.
Book us in.
Get security in.
I don't think Davey was going to do it until last weekend happened, but it's... we're expecting, hopefully, Coach and Murph will be able to join us at some point, if schedule permitting, but... if you come along to Bunkers Hill upstairs, 2 p.m. on Sunday, in between the third, fourth place game and the final, bit of chat, maybe a few guests, bit of banter, inverted commas, and get yourselves a drink and come and join in. And Davey, I'm sure you'll have a few things to say.
Oh yeah,
and Coach, maybe you'll come and join us at some point.
Yeah, Murph and I are going to try and get 15 minutes or so in between, or just before the. A lot of the pre-game stuff has to be done and before we go live. But yeah, mate, it's always good fun, and we've thoroughly enjoyed our time at the Bunkers Hill the last time that we did it with Paul Leary and the Cat's Whiskers guys. So hopefully everybody heads down to that and packs it in.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. 2 p.m. at Bunkers Hill. Jono's putting in a lot of work to get the mics and everything set up, and we'll be joining him, Aaron and Andy, for a bit of crack before the final. Well, boys, on that note, any other business before we go?
Yes, I do, Patrick.
Okay, so there we go on then.
Two pieces. I'm just watching our Twitter feed there as we're doing this show. Daryl Lloyd, the guy we've just talked about, signed up for another season in Belfast. Just hitting the wires there now, and I'm sure everybody will know by the time the show comes out, unless you're living under a rock or in Mars. Fantastic signing to have back at the club.
Good news. Good news indeed. We talked about him earlier on. Well worth it. Anything else?
Have you got Hooters booked, Coach?
Yes, Hooters is booked.
Yeah!
Hooters is booked.
Playoff, baby!
Playoffs Peter are coming. Patter. See you on Saturday, boys.
Cheers. Cheers, Patrick. Cheers, Dave.
Well, there you have it. Thanks to Paddy. Thanks to Neil, Chuck Webber, our very own Carson Chewback, Aaron Murphy. Make sure you stay in touch over the weekend on Twitter. It's the playoffs, baby! If you can't get there, tune in with Murph, Coach 80 and Coach on Premier Sports. But whatever you do and wherever you do it, we hope you enjoy your hockey, and we'll catch you next time on A View from the Bridge.
Come on, Giants!